You're listening to a Day1.fm show.
Pick My Brain is the podcast where founders pitch me their startup and I try to give them some useful advice so they can connect better with potential co-founders, investors, media, and of course, customers. My name's Alan Jones and I was a founder myself for about 15 years, and after that an angel investor for another 15 years, so yeah, old. Some of my ventures have been successful and some failed disastrously, but I like to think I've learned a thing or two along the way, and maybe some of that can help you. So if you'd like to learn how to tweak your pitch, subscribe to the Pick My Brain show now, wherever you like to listen to podcasts.
Hi, it's Chris Titley here as part of the FinTech Fun podcast. I'm talking to Chris Chardon today. Chris, thanks so much for being on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Chris, a little bit different today. We normally talk to fintechs that are reasonably established and ones that have, you know, potentially raised capital or certainly going through that scale-up phase, maybe multiple capital raises. But today we're doing something a little different and chatting to you as a person that sits as an industry expert. Do you want to tell the listeners out there a little bit about your background and your journey so far?
Sure. So I am a mortgage broker by trade. I happen to have have worked with multiple banks in the past prior to that life as well too. So I have started a business from scratch. So I understand what it means just to do the mechanics behind that. But further to that, I've also done a bit of project work previously around IT projects within banking. So again, have a bit of an insight around that. And so I got pretty excited about hearing about CDR and what the possibilities were. And then being in the coalface of meeting people who are dealing with their finances on a day-to-day basis, started, you know, fielding the same questions over and over about what should I be doing here around, you know, can you help me out with the savings account? So it wasn't just home loans, it started to become more. And so when I started diving into CDR a bit deeper, I kind of realized that there's definitely something here that can benefit consumers. And so started kind of playing around with an idea, partnered with a really good kind of IT industry expert. And from there, kind of like, you know, it's grown and flourished pretty quick.
Excellent. And so obviously with your mortgage broking background and CDR and putting the two together, we've had a number of guests that have talked about CDR. My sort of gut feeling or intuition feel is that it's coming. It's sort of not as mainstream as some people or a bit slower than people had thought. What's your take on it all and how are you using it within the sort of the mortgage broking industry?
It's such a good question. So I think the industry wants it. I can understand where the industry wants it to be. And I think that it absolutely will eventually get there. I feel like at the moment there is enough out there in terms of its capability to be able to build out products. Now they're not going to be perfect. And I think that's something that the industry needs to communicate to customers and go, look, this is the worst it will be. It will get better from here. But if you find what we're building useful, then we really can't wait for you to see what's coming, because yeah. I really do think that, you know, we are probably about 3 years away from the capability of being able to start building out a kind of super app. But I think what's already here can absolutely serve, you know, a decent proportion of the population already, because people are screaming for, unbiased search, for example, in being able to find products without knowing that there's a referral click going on in the background, for example. And so I look at it and see, you know, enormous and abundant opportunity where, and I understand VC going, yeah, but it's not going to be a polished product. And I think, well, okay, but I do think that there is enough of an opportunity there that we can absolutely add value 100%.
And the use cases have been sort of shifted in my view from sort of fintechy to more energy at the moment, and some of these fintech infrastructure providers have been talking about the energy market as a use case, et cetera. And obviously with financial services, that comes with a bit more regulation and sort of stringency around roadblocks, et cetera. When it comes specifically to someone looking to refinance, someone looking to buy an investment property or even their first home, how would that play out in someone's mind, and what would you like as Nirvana?
Oh, God. I mean, it's such a good question. I think that, you know, there's an enormous, you know, missing, like a huge gap around. At the moment, for example, I'll fire off my client portal You know, full disclosure, my firm uses Sales Tracker as software. And I think like a huge gap, for example, is CDR could plug in clients' live data. So instead of them having to tap away at 50 million, you know, different fields, you know, you could populate 80% of an application just on CDR data alone.
Yeah, wow.
It's never going to be perfect. There will always, you know, people's lives change. You know, people forget to, you know, update their address with a bank. And so, you know, I might drag in an old address or something. But overall, you know, that's invaluable data and speed at which, you know, I can fire, if I could fire up a client portal and a client go, hey, I'll just plug in my CDR data. And, you know, there's, you know, the basis of a really good, you know, scenario for me to be able to start processing an application for them, then God, you know, we can turn stuff around in 5 minutes. You know, at the moment that discovery process takes time and, you know, a client's got to sit down, you know, find the time to then plug in all the information from scratch. So, you know, those kinds of things I think CDR can already capably do. And I think that there probably are products in the works where that is kind of going on right now, but I see like a massive gap there. I also think that one incredibly easy slam dunk product is going to be that, you know, those vanilla home loan applications where, you know, someone can have an accumulation of their data all in the one spot and it's all live and it's CDR. Because you can get, when you think about it, if you can access someone's transaction history, you've got how much their salary is, you can find out what their expenses are. And if they can give you a quick snapshot of their asset and liability position via CDR data, you've got 95% of a loan application written.
Yep.
And so I kind of think, you know, there is an opportunity there for banks to be able to create a product where you can do like a one-click refinance, where if everything lines up and your credit record is all clean, you're good to go. I think that is a possibility. But if someone builds it, different story.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. And just on the, I suppose the enterprise side, those that are dishing out the mortgages at the end of the day, do you think they need to adapt or change their behaviours? And do you think that CDR is welcome from some of these larger institutions, or do you think that there's sort of a little bit of a hesitancy around data, or I suppose keeping the client?
I think that looking at the CDR listing and which, you know, lenders are on board, I think there's only a couple of major banks that are really paying attention to it at the moment. I think that the industry's attitude will, you know, the impression I get as someone who's only, you know, newly kind of walked into this, I look at it and kind of think they see it as a burden in terms of, you know, having to update data, having teams there to update, you know, interest rates and fees and the conditions and all that kind of stuff. And so I think where the biggest issue I see, and, you know, again, I'm greener to this than others, yep. But the big thing for me is I look at it and I go, you know, I think there's a place for the ACCC to really push them to mandate some more positive ways of them having to update their data and having to, you know, and have a stronger enforcement, I think, as well, you know. I think that, you know, talking to our partner we're looking at getting our CDR data from, they're trying to encourage us not to, you know, jump up and down and have the ACCC, but, you know, they're looking at using those back channel conversations to go, hey, you know, insert bank here, this data's not up today, could you just tidy this up, please, and talking to those teams directly in the background. And I think that's good, but I think, you know, at the moment the ACCC is very reliant on the industry reporting, you know, about not bad behavior. I don't say banks are behaving badly, but I will say that, you know, like the data quality is poor.
Yep.
And so I think that, you know, there's more that could be done, I think, to get the quality of the data stronger. But I don't think it's that bad either. I think that, you know, we're looking for perfect, and I think we need to not let the good get in the way of the perfect get in the way of the good. Sorry.
Yeah. So Chris, you know, as I mentioned earlier, this is sort of a different style of podcast. I'm interested to know the macro view of mortgage broking markets at the moment. We've had 13 interest rate rises, I think it is. We've seen housing prices go up and peak. And then I also want to talk about your journey now into the next phase. Firstly, simple question, you know, what are you seeing in the market at the moment that's different to other cycles that you've seen before?
Oh, I mean, you know, the bleeding obvious is that, you know, you've only got to track the RBA, look at the history of the RBA rates and where they've moved and how quickly. And I mean, and we've never seen, you know, a rocket like this before injected into interest rates they came from a low basis. And I do think that sometimes, you know, it's easy to make alarmist headlines and create some clickbait around, you know, interest rates in that. Yeah, they're high. Like there's no question of that. And I absolutely appreciate there is pain in the market right now. But I also look at it and think, well, you know, back in kind of go back to probably about 8-9 years ago now, and interest rates were pretty near this. Like they weren't far off. Yep. People had fives.
I reckon my first one was 6.5 or 7. That was dating back a little while, probably 15 years, but certainly.
And don't get me wrong, like, you know, 15 years ago, the wages probably looked better proportional to what the loan sizes are now. I understand that too. But, you know, we're focusing only on rate. And I think there's so many other factors that we need to take in consideration when we're looking at this bigger picture problem. I think at the moment, you know, I'm not sure the RBA is looking at things. You know, I'm no economist, but I look at I kind of think, well, the underlying factors that they're looking at to as an excuse to drag up interest rates, things like, you know, petrol prices, rates, not, you know, changing the RBA rates not going to fix the petrol price.
Yes. Yeah, macro petrol events which are out of people's control.
That's exactly right. And so I kind of look and I think, well, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, they really start to look harder. And I think this, you know, the RBA board review is going to probably shake things up quite a lot. And that's coming. And I think, you know, watch this space in the new year, because I'd be very intrigued to see how that all plays out in real terms.
Yeah, from a bank's point of view, you've seen the language change a little bit, in my view, from sort of like, we're okay, we think everything's okay, our clients are okay, and, you know, the book is looking good, etc. And obviously, from an LVR point of view, the market has been strong, so that's okay. You know, the what-if scenarios, if markets start to turn and you're starting to see an abundance of selling, and you know, that'll obviously play out from the bank's point of view. From your own point of view, in terms of where you're at and in terms of your business, what are you up to, and where do you think you want to be in the next 12 months?
From a mortgage broker perspective, just looking after the clients that I've got and making sure that they've got, you know, a place to go. So far, you know, I've been really lucky. We write a pretty solid conservative book, and so overall that's been okay. From a startup perspective, you know, we're looking to launch next year. Running two businesses at the same time is going to be fun.
Yes.
I look at and just see some serious opportunity there. And I think that, you know, VC obviously know the market space well. But I also think that, you know, if you get the right person pitching the right idea, I do think that there is absolutely opportunity there. I think it just comes down to, you know, what your background is, you've got, what you are bringing to the table, and how much of it, you know, what problem are you trying to solve?
Yeah, no, for sure. I actually think, as a little prediction for 2024, that the really interesting companies that may get funded due to domain expertise and people and whatever people want to predict as that they're going to be good, they'll actually be a pretty crowded trade. There'll be a lot of people trying to jump on it at the same time, and you might see, you know, enormous rounds on one particular company or three particular companies or whatever it might be, because of the fact that, you know, it is actually, you know, people are aware that there are investment opportunities out there. The door's been reasonably shut this year, but next year, you know, maybe it's opening again. And I wish you the best, obviously, if you go down that path in terms of funding. But in regards to technology and startups, and sort of one final question on fintech in this particular area, how advanced is the technology in terms of speed and efficiency? And we've also got AI, don't forget, that's in the background. Within your industry, and where are you going to sit, and how are you going to go about the launch?
So ours is not a home loan specific product. It's actually consumer bank wide, I guess, is probably the best description. It sucks because I'd love to tell you more, but obviously, you know, until we're actually, you know, at the point of launch, and can, you know, hey, here's a very shiny.
Oh, that's a shame. But anyway, we'll do another podcast when you're in your launch. Yeah.
100%. So, The tech is actually really fascinating. So that's like, we've been really caught by surprise as we've built and as we've started to grow and look at what we're, you know, what our tech stack's going to look like, and that, and, you know, and all of that. And I'm not going to try and speak too tech minded because I'm the finance guy, you know, you know, who understands the industry. Yep. I'm definitely not, you know, I'm partnered with a systems architect, you know, like, you know, a real match made in heaven as far as I'm concerned. So I lucked out there. What I am seeing though is that, you know, for example, SOC 2 compliance, I think a couple of years ago would have just taken, you know, tens of thousands of dollars more, you know, like a month and a whole team to manage. Whereas, you know, now we're looking to partner with Drata and Assurance Labs, for example, and just, wow, like we're blown away. Like there's some real efficiency dividends there. And I think, you know, it is really ripe for fintech startups. I mean, you still need capital. Like there's no doubt about it. Someone coming to this without any money to back them up is going to really have trouble. Even if you've got all the knowledge and expertise in the world, I really do think that, you know, you do need to try and bootstrap if you can. But overall, like I've actually been genuinely impressed. And I know that a lot of people are quite critical of CDR. And that's fine. I understand the criticisms, but I think there's more to it. And, you know, like I said, I really see some ripe opportunity there. And if you know, VC is warning everyone away from it, then that's, you know, that's great for us. We're looking at, cool, well, then we'll be the only ones supplying a particular product, you know, that no one else is doing.
Yes, no, absolutely. And I look forward to catching up then at that imminent launch at some point in time next year. Chris, thanks so much for being part of this podcast and giving us your journey, your insights into your domain expertise within the mortgage broking and also, yeah, the CDR, which again is, you know, here but not here, and obviously lots and lots of potential when it comes to industry use, particularly in mortgage broking. I wish you all the best for your imminent startup launch and look forward to catching up when it's all live.
Thank you so much for your time, Chris. I really appreciate it as well. It's nice to, you know, get a voice out there for the people who haven't even started.
That's
yet.
That's right. So, no, yeah, indeed.
Thank you so much, mate. Appreciate it.
Listen to the Unfunded podcast brought to you by the Day One Network and hosted by me, tech writer Joan Westenberg. We're sharing the no-holds-barred untold stories from entrepreneurs who have decided to build a business on their terms. I'll be interviewing successful founders and operators on the grit and ingenuity it takes to build and scale independent startups without the support of traditional venture capital funding. Subscribe to the Unfunded podcast now, wherever you get your podcasts.